Hello, welcome to the Rethink Your Understanding podcast, where we dive deep into transformative insights on leadership, agile, lean, DevOps, value stream management, and flow engineering. I'm your human host, Phil Clark. I've been leading technology teams for over two decades in both eras of software delivery. In each episode, the AI-generated hosts dive into key concepts and insights from my articles and blog posts. While this conversation is generated by AI, there may be occasional errors or misinterpretations that differ slightly from the original material. Join me as we explore and improve our understanding of digital transformation. I hope this inspires you to read the original article and reach out to me to collaborate. You will find a link to the article in the show notes. Also, if you enjoyed today's episode, please like, rate, and follow us on your podcast provider of choice. Your support helps us reach more listeners, and every review counts. Stay tuned for more thought-provoking content, and thanks for being part of our podcast experiment and journey. AI's full potential in software delivery isn't in writing code faster. It's in transforming the entire value stream. In this episode, the AI hosts explore why most delays happen in ideation and release, not coding, and how AI applied narrowly to delivery can actually amplify dysfunction. Drawing on insights from industry leaders and the Atlassian 2025 AI Collaboration Report and DORA findings, they discuss how leaders can use value stream management and flow metrics to measure AI's true impact, reduce systemic waste, and accelerate idea to value across the enterprise. Let's dive in.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're here to give you those key insights you need without all the noise. Today, we're digging into something pretty critical in tech right now. Where are we really applying AI in software development? And maybe more importantly, where are we missing the boat? We need to think way beyond just, you know, making coding faster. Our main source for this deep dive is a really sharp piece from Phil Clark over on his site, RethinkYourUnderstanding.com. It's called Beyond Delivery. Our mission today, to find those big, often overlooked AI opportunities by looking at the whole system, the entire idea-to-value pipeline, not just the developer's keyboard. Just a quick note for you listening in. The ideas and the data points we're talking about, they come straight from Phil's article and the sources he uses. We'll be analyzing and maybe riffing on them a bit, so the conversation might wander slightly, but his work is the foundation. You can find the full article on RethinkYourUnderstanding.com. Definitely worth a read.
Absolutely. And look, AI adoption, that's basically a given now. Everyone's jumping in. But there's this huge gap opening up, isn't there, between companies getting like minor speed bumps and those actually transforming how they work. And that difference really comes down to where you put the AI and maybe even more crucially, how you measure if it's actually helping the business, not just, say, the engineering team's output.
Okay, so let's kick things off with the numbers. The data that kind of reframes the whole problem. Phil points to this key data from Mick Kirsten's talk at the 2025 Engineering Leadership Tech Summit. He breaks down the software value stream into those four classic phases: ideate, create, release, and operate.
Right, the standard model.
But when you look at the total cycle time, you know, from the moment an idea pops up until it's actually live for the customer, there's a real shocker. The create phase, the actual coding, the part the agile teams do, it counts for only, wait for it, 8% of the total time.
8%. Yeah. It's kind of mind-blowing when you first see that number, because it completely flips the narrative, doesn't it, about where the actual work and maybe more importantly, the delay is happening.
Exactly. If coding is only 8%, where on earth is the other 92% going?
That's the million-dollar question, or maybe the multi-million-dollar question in this case.
Right. And this is the bit that really grabbed me. If companies are pouring money into AI tools to make developers, say, twice as fast, well, you're trying to optimize 8% of the problem. So what about the other 92%? Where are those real bottlenecks?
Well, the data shows they live upstream and downstream of the coding part. Almost half the time, a whopping 48% is lost in ideation. This is all the pre-coding stuff, getting funding approved, navigating layers of sign-offs, constant reprioritization battles. The idea basically just sits on a shelf.
48% just waiting. Wow.
And then on the other end, you've got the release phase. That eats up another huge slice, 44% of the cycle time. And again, this isn't coding. This is wrestling with technical debt, untangling dependencies, waiting for security reviews, manual handoffs between teams. It's all the friction that jams things up right before value gets out the door.
So Phil's core question becomes pretty obvious then. If all our AI effort is focused on speeding up that tiny 8% slice, are we just making engineers faster at, well, waiting for someone to approve something? Or faster at hitting that release wall?
Exactly. It's like putting a turbocharger on an engine that's clogged up and can't breathe. You're not actually going faster overall.
So right now, the industry focus seems heavily weighted towards AI in those create and release stages. Things like code completion tools, maybe automating some tests, optimizing the CI/CD pipeline. Useful stuff, for sure.
Useful, yes, but still largely operating within that delivery silo, you know?
Which ties into that point Laura Tacho made on the DX Engineering Enablement podcast. It was a really compelling argument. She talked about moving beyond what she called single-player mode, just giving individual developers AI licenses. It leads to scattered results, right?
Yeah.
Uneven adoption.
Yeah, exactly. Her point was that platform teams should really own the metaphorical AI headcount, centralize the AI capability, apply it horizontally across the organization, treat it like a shared resource, an accelerant that needs central guidance and measurement.
That makes a lot of sense organizationally.
Yeah.
But even that platform approach, which is definitely better than just individual licenses, it's still potentially too narrow if that platform only focuses on delivery efficiency, right?
Yeah.
If it's just measuring how fast code gets built.
Precisely. You're still missing the upstream and downstream swamps where most of the time disappears. The 92%. The real opportunity isn't just a faster coding platform. It's about treating AI like an intelligent partner across the entire value stream, from idea spark to customer value.
And to do that, you need visibility across that whole stream. Which brings us to tooling. We often hear about SEI platforms, software engineering intelligence, and they're great for tracking delivery metrics, you know, team performance, deployment frequency.
They are very useful for that create release part.
But for that end-to-end view, we need something broader, like value stream management or VSM platforms.
Yes, the VSM perspective is key here. VSM tracks the work item itself, the value from the very beginning, maybe even a customer request, all the way through to delivery and operation. SEI gives you deep insight into the engine room, the 8%. VSM shows you the whole factory floor, including those big waiting areas upstream, the funding delays, the priority queues, and the handoff mess downstream, stuff that delivery dashboards just don't see.
Okay, that distinction is huge. Because if we take that VSM view, suddenly it's clear where AI could have the biggest impact, not just the 8%, but the 48% and the 44%.
Right. Let's tackle that first massive time sink, ideation, the 48% bottleneck.
So much waiting time there.
A lot of it is manual grunt work, isn't it? Waiting for someone to wade through customer feedback, write up a detailed business case, push a proposal through layers of management. AI could potentially accelerate a lot of that. Synthesizing customer research, drafting initial business cases, maybe even modeling potential ROI much faster, shrinking that initial approval loop.
And maybe even more powerfully in ideation, AI could actually surface those hidden cues, you know, work just sitting there.
Exactly. Imagine AI highlighting, hey, this feature was approved 35 days ago, but hasn't moved into create yet. That forces a conversation about why it's stuck. It makes the invisible visible.
Okay, makes sense. Now, what about the other big one? Release the 44% bottleneck.
This is often where complexity bites back. Technical debt, tangled dependencies, compliance hurdles. AI could be applied here to automate really complex compliance checks, map out those spider webs of dependencies between services, maybe even help predict integration issues before they happen. That could drastically cut down on those painful, slow, manual handoffs between dev, sec, and ops.
Right. And then we still have create, the original 8%. We don't ignore it.
No, absolutely not. AI in coding, code reviews, testing is still valuable. But the key is tying its success not just to lines of code written faster, but to system outcomes. Does the AI help reduce defects during creation? Does it help manage tech debt proactively that positively impacts the release phase later?
And finally, operate. The live system.
Yeah, here AI can target things like faster incident resolution, the keep the lights on, or KTLO work, recognizing patterns and failures. But the crucial bit is the feedback loop. AI can structure those operational learnings and feed them back cleanly into ideation. So product strategy gets informed by real-world operational reality closing the loop.
So when you apply AI systemically like this, the whole success metric just shifts, doesn't it? It stops being just how fast can we push this one ticket and becomes how much can we actually shrink the total time from idea to realized value?
Exactly. Phil's article suggests moving from, say, a 180-day cycle time down to maybe 90 days or even less. That's not just tweaking efficiency. That's a fundamental change in competitiveness.
That systemic view also shines a light on some really painful hidden costs. John Cutler mentioned something staggering on the Product Thinking podcast. He talked about the sheer overhead of just reporting on progress.
Oh, yeah, that estimate with eye-watering. He suggested one company might be spending something like $4 million in staff hours per quarter.
Mm.
Just building dashboards, validating data, reformatting sleds for meetings, $4 million.
$4 million a quarter just making PowerPoints, basically.
Yeah.
That's an insane, invisible tax on getting things done.
It really is. And that's precisely the kind of friction that AI embedded directly into VSM or SEI platforms can start to eliminate. Instead of teams burning weeks prepping reports, the AI generates the dashboards, flags the anomalies, surfaces the constraints automatically.
It frees people up to actually act on the insights, not just prepare them.
Exactly. It's a huge potential cultural shift. Less slide building, more strategy.
And thinking about ROI, the article makes a good point. The question isn't really if we should use AI anymore. Usage is apparently doubling year over year. The real question now is how efficiently we manage the cost and, more importantly, ensure we're getting actual value back. Kind of like the shift we saw with cloud spending a few years ago, right?
Yeah.
Optimizing the cost.
Precisely. And this circles right back to measurement. How do we know if this AI investment is actually delivering systemic value? The data suggests only a tiny fraction, maybe 4% of organizations, have seen truly transformational improvements from AI so far.
So if AI is supposed to be driving this big systemic change, how do we prove it's working?
It has to show up in the system level flow metrics. Those are the ultimate proof points.
Okay, flow metrics. We hear that term a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Can you break down what we'd actually expect to see changing in those metrics if AI is having the right impact?
Sure. Broadly, you need to see improvements in three key areas. First, speed and efficiency. Your flow time, that end-to-end idea to value clock, absolutely has to shrink significantly. And flow efficiency, the ratio of active work time to wait time, needs to go up. Less waiting around.
Makes sense. What's second?
Second is quality and stability. You look at flow distribution. Are you just churning out features faster, or are you also using AI to tackle technical debt and reduce defects? If AI just accelerates feature delivery but ignores the growing pile of debt, you're heading for trouble. It's not a sustainable improvement.
Right, balancing the work. And third?
Third is predictability. Flow load, the amount of work in the system, should ideally stabilize or become more manageable. AI should be taking on some of the repetitive, lower value tasks, freeing up humans for the complex stuff. This should make the whole system calmer, more predictable.
Got it. So speed, quality, predictability, measured by flow metrics.
Exactly. There are newer frameworks emerging, like the DX AI framework, looking at utilization, impact, cost, useful dimensions. But the core flow metrics, they remain the fundamental health check for the entire system.
And we do have examples of this idea to value acceleration happening in the real world, don't we? The article mentions Canva. Working with AWS Bedrock, they apparently went from the initial idea for Canva Code to launching the product in just 12 weeks.
12 weeks. From concept to launch. That's the kind of compression we're talking about when AI is applied thoughtfully across the stream.
But there's always a but, isn't there?
Yeah.
We need to inject a serious note of caution here, especially for leaders.
Absolutely crucial. The 2025 DORA State of AI-Assisted Software Development report had a very stark finding. It found that only the top 40%, the already high-performing teams, managed to use AI to boost throughput without wrecking their stability.
So for the other 60%, the majority?
For the majority, AI tended to just amplify their existing problems. Make things faster, yes, but also potentially faster at breaking things or creating low-quality output.
That really drives home that turbocharger analogy you used earlier.
Right.
Stick it on a finely tuned engine, great. Stick it on Glunker.
You just amplify the rattles and make the breakdown happen faster, precisely. And this leads directly to, well, four pretty essential takeaways for leadership from that DORGAR report.
Okay, let's hear them.
First, don't just roll out AI everywhere carelessly. Start small. Pilot it with your most mature, stable teams first. Figure out the guardrails, build responsible patterns, then scale it.
Sensible. What's next?
Second, recognize AI primarily as an amplifier. If your current value stream flows smoothly, AI can accelerate it. If it's full of friction, like those huge ideation delays or release bottlenecks, AI will likely just make the dysfunction worse, faster.
Makes sense. Amplify the good or amplify the bad. Third.
Third, Use metrics religiously to know if AI is helping or hurting. Your flow metrics absolutely must improve systemically. And critically, your DORA stability metrics, especially change failure rate, need to stay steady or ideally improve. Mm. If your failure rate starts spiking after introducing AI, that's a huge red flag. It means the AI might be generating speed at the cost of quality and stability.
Okay, measure carefully. And the last one.
Finally, and this is key for leadership in action, you have to fix the system bottlenecks in parallel. AI is brilliant at exposing waste and delay, but leaders can't just watch the waste pile up faster. They have to actively eliminate those upstream approval jungles and downstream technical debt swamps at the same time as rolling out AI. Otherwise, the acceleration hits a wall.
So the tech acceleration needs corresponding process and system improvement.
Exactly. It has to be holistic. As Ruba Borno from AWS put it in that McKinsey interview, successful AI adoption demands system-level measurement, clear ties to business outcomes, and active leadership that understands both the potential and the systemic risks.
That really wraps up the core argument nicely, I think. AI tools just for developers. Helpful, maybe. But AI applied thoughtfully across the entire value stream. Targeting that 48% ideation chunk, that 44% release chunk, that's where the transformation lies.
And the focus really has shifted, hasn't it? It's less about should we do AI and much more about how do we manage the cost effectively and how do we prove with system-level metrics, like flow metrics, that it's actually improving the business.
Yeah, the proof is in the pudding, or rather in the flow metrics.
And maybe a final thought connecting this back to the bigger picture. The organizations that really pull ahead here, they'll be the ones who insist on rigorous measurement, provide proper training, and think strategically about applying AI across all the roles involved. It's not just a dev tool. Product, design, ops, support, everyone needs to be part of ensuring that AI enhances quality and collaboration, not just speed and isolation.
Which leaves a great final thought for you, the listener, to take back to your own world. If the data suggests 48% of time is lost in ideation and 44% in release, take a hard look at your system. Where are your specific 48% and 44% bottlenecks? What approvals, handoffs, or waits are costing you the most time? And based on that, where could AI deliver the biggest, most meaningful impact for you? Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. And again, we strongly recommend checking out the full article by Phil Clark on RethinkYourUnderstanding.com for all the details.